This is Shop Talk. I'm Rich Eggert.
I'm Bill Knight.
And I'm Mike Murray.
Let's talk today about funding for public broadcasting. A number of states trying to balance budgets are taking aim at public broadcasting. Rhode Island, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Idaho, Kansas. Even in Iowa, there's been talk Iowa Public Television drastically reducing the budget there. Certainly hate to see that happen, not just because I work in public broadcasting, but I think there's an important mission there to have commercial-free broadcasting, free of those outside influences, Mike.
Right. Yeah, I am a little shocked at the revelation of so many states trying to cut back on their funding of public broadcasting. You know, I always tend to think of, when we talk about funding of public broadcasting, which is, a public service, I always tend to think of the way they do it up in Canada, which is, you know, the CBC serves audiences that are extremely remote and who speak Aboriginal languages, you know, way up north in the Yukon Territory and so forth. They have at least radio service and a little bit of TV service even nowadays. There's never any talk of cutting that back, even though because of the size of the audience, which is, you know, minuscule that far north, there's obviously no money in it, but it's a public service. It's part of what the government in that case can do to give remote audiences and niche audiences and you know, unusual Aboriginal language audiences some programming. The FCC talks about doing that here. Everyone should have rights to receive some broadcasting and television and radio, but, you know, it's assumed to be commercial broadcasting because public broadcasting doesn't always survive the economic distress of the times. So it's too bad.
It seems to get politicized more and more in recent years, too.
And I think, like Mike said about the remote areas up north, look at some of these states that are considering it. Kansas, Oklahoma, Idaho, there are huge areas.
You bet.
Geographically, they're probably not served very well by satellite or online or cable services. So it really is a service. That said, I think there's a tendency, you mentioned the politics entering in the decision-making. I think it's a tendency to try to control the contents of public broadcasting, radio or TV. And I think the independent notion of non-commercial media challenges whoever is in power. And I think this is an attempt to challenge that independence. That said, they're not independent. They're dependent. They're reliant on some government funding. Mm-hmm. Not a majority of funding, but I think it demonstrates the built-in weakness of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting needing any kind of state or federal funding. And it reminds me a couple years ago when a few dozen daily newspapers out of 1,400 got into stupid financial problems, and they actually approached a couple of senators about some kind of federal government funding. And, you know, whether it's government or a philanthropy or commercial interest, once you begin to rely on a few sources for your funding, your independence is sacrificed.
Yeah. I will say, though, in rural areas, and as you mentioned, some of these states have a lot of rural areas, very difficult to raise enough money just through listeners,
sure.
And that's why you need that government support.
Yeah, you do. It perhaps, you know, I gave the example earlier of the CBC in Canada and how they deal with it. It's probably, I'm not Canadian. I don't know much about it from personal experience, but perhaps it's a reflection of the priorities of the government that they serve these remote audiences with a little dab of television and radio content, which I don't think that's, you know, part of our mission. You know, it's not part of the government's function in the United States, I guess.
to help the informed.
to be, you know, informed, and so I guess maybe it's just a reflection of the different priorities of the governments of our two countries.
But, well, it's in government's best interest to have I would think it's in government's best interest to have an informed citizenry and a democracy.
Well, that's the FCC
so.
Language, you know.
You'd think so, but I don't think so. I think people in power would just assume people not vote, except their own people,
right,
and not be informed, and except for what they can convince them of. And it's kind of a sad comment on the state of politics in our state and national capital. But, you mentioned the Canadian broadcasting system. The BBC for years had an alternative mechanism where if you bought a radio or a television set, the hardware— a fee with that purchase would go toward the BBC.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the
and we've never tried that in this country, where it's really a consumer tax, but it's a flat tax. Mm-hmm. If you get by with a transistor radio, you pay in less than if you have a huge system. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's an option.
You might have to assess that fee to computer or smartphone purchases anymore, because I don't know how many, especially younger generation, would buy a TV or a radio when they can just stream stuff online.
Yeah, that's true.
And this whole notion or trend or whatever you want to say with zeroing out funding, I think it's another reminder that for the legitimate concerns people have with deficits, and I think those are reasonable, you can't just say, well, let's cut X percent, let's just cut X trillion, without realizing that's got to come from somewhere. You know, if you say, well, let's cut 40%, well, does that come out of Medicaid? Does it come out of roads?
Yeah.
It matters.
Mm-hmm.
And people who just blanket, assessment say we must cut X percent or X trillion, things like this happen where something you value or you need is sacrificed.
Yeah.
All right. With that, we are out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.